Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Genesis chapter 14, verses 17 through 24. The Reverend Sean Denzer is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Genesis, the 14th chapter. After his return from the defeat of Chedorlaomer and the kings who were with him, the king of Sodom went out to meet Abraham at the valley of Sheva, that is, the king's valley. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High. And he blessed Abram and said, "Blessed be Abram by God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." And Abram gave him a tenth of everything. And the king of Sodom said to Abram, "Give me the persons, but take the goods for yourself." But Abram said to the king of Sodom, "I have lifted my hand to the Lord God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, that I would not take a thread or a sandal strap or anything that is yours, lest you should say, 'I have made Abram rich.' I will take nothing but what the young men have eaten, and the share of the men who went with me. Let Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre take their share. O Lord, have mercy on us."
Thanks be to God.
In many and various ways God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
But now in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Three things today: the king of righteousness in contrast with the king of Sodom, Melchizedek's bread and wine, and something about Christ. The king of righteousness, the king of Salem, Melchizedek, comes out, and so does the king of Sodom. They want to see this thing that has come to pass. And that's a little humorous, because the king of Sodom was the leader of the cities that were routed just a chapter before. This world's powers, likewise, are always routed and vexed by our enemies too. They act like they really do know how the things work and that they're in control, but of course they do not have that power. They are not in control of what is going on. They do not possess very much. And they lay claim easily to the things that they don't possess too. By contrast, the growth and the life of the church is always secure. And the church is never getting smaller. It is always growing, because it is always adding new members, and it loses none of them. They're all with our Lord Jesus Christ, awaiting the resurrection. And that whole business of the church is a curiosity to this world and its powers. They come out to see it. But that doesn't mean that they're fans of us. It doesn't mean that they're our benefactors either. Abraham is just as indifferent now when he receives the accolades and the praise and the attention of these kings. He's shown himself better than the kings of the land, but he doesn't seem to care that much. He neither receives their accolades, nor does he receive the wealth that the king of Sodom is willing to give him. But Melchizedek comes not seeking these things, but giving them, bringing blessing and gift in his hands. And to this one, Abraham does return something. He gives him the tithe, for he is the Most High's servant. God is being acknowledged in this. In summary then, dear friends, we march in triumphal procession because our Lord, Christ, is King. He has bought us. He has defeated our enemies for us. He rules and he possesses all things. And that's why we should keep our heads held high. Now, Melchizedek brings out the bread and the wine, which is interesting. Who is Melchizedek? Maybe more interesting. He's called the servant of the Most High, specifically a priest. He is King of righteousness, not only King of Salem, which means King of Peace, the forerunner of Jerusalem, but also his very name says Melchizedek, King of righteousness. We hear a lot about him in Hebrews, where it emphasizes his uniqueness and his mystery. We don't know where he came from or where he went. He comes out of nowhere, and he is a type of Christ. Most of the fathers have said he's Shem, still living, the son of Noah, a preacher of righteousness, and thus no stranger to the Most High God. But he comes and he brings a celebration. He brings unnecessary food. They just won the battle. They have plenty of spoils. The guys have been eating, and that's all Abraham wants as his prize. But here comes the unnecessary stuff, an extra feast from somebody who wants to bring a benefit to Abram. Now, some have said that in Melchizedek we have a proof of the sacrifice of the Mass, because he is a priest. We know that the chief duty of a priest is to sacrifice things. And here he brings out bread and wine to set a meal like the Lord's Supper. That can't be true. And it can't be true because connected with his bringing out of the bread and wine is not a sacrifice, at least that we see in the text of Scripture, but rather just the opposite. It is a gift. It is a blessing, it says. He comes and says, "Blessed be Abram by the Most High God." If we want to see then a type of the Lord's Supper here, that's fine, I think, just as long as you recognize that our Lord's Supper is a blessing to us, a gift just as Jesus instituted it, given and shed for us for the forgiveness of sins. Last of all, then, something about Christ, because the psalm says, "You are the Son, today I have begotten you. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek," referring to the Messiah. Now, Abraham today pays a tithe to this king and priest Melchizedek, and it's not a recovery payment. Melchizedek didn't seem to have lost anything, or his territory of Salem. It's not a bribe to get in good with him, and it's not a reimbursement for the bread and the wine. Rather, it is simply to acknowledge the God whom he serves and to give an amen to his blessing of that God. That means that this is a praise and is a confession of God. And the book of Hebrews, when it talks about this, says that it's always the lesser who pays tribute to the greater, which tells us what Abraham saw there in Melchizedek. This then too belongs among the moments that Jesus was referring to when he said, "I tell you the truth, Abraham saw my day and he was glad of it." Christ Jesus is the true King and High Priest of our confession. He is the fulfillment of this strange Melchizedek. Because Jesus is the Son of the Most High God, he is the one whose priesthood is forever. And he is the one who comes after this sort of priest, a once-and-for-all sort of priest. In fact, more than that, he is with the Father, also the possessor and the creator of heaven and earth. Dear friends, since he has ascended then, he is bringing everything into subjection under his feet, subjection to his righteousness and his peace. He surely is blessing us with the rich benefits of his sacrifice once and for all, not only in the supper, but in all of his promises in the church. Now, I don't know what the kings of this world, what the kings of Sodom think of us, but that should not be that important to us. We rather must remain confident and bold in Christ Jesus. We must remain confident that they have no claim on us by power. We must remain confident that they have no claim on us by wealth either. Rather, Christ has the claim on us. He's purchased us by his blood and his victory. He possesses us. And Christ possesses not only us, but all things, even the things that we do not see in subjection to him. In this, Lord, then, and in the strength of his might, know that we have a portion that is every bit as eternal as He is. And do not lose heart in this world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.